Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Holy, Africana, and this is Morning Dew. We just want to thank God for his faithfulness, thank God for his loving kindness, thank him for the privilege of yet another new day. Imagine we're in the 10th day of the month of August, the year 2025. I just find that incredible. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege that is called today. Thank you for the lives of each and every one of our listeners. Thank you for the opportunity to come together to Tabernacle. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit. We anticipate an abundance of his presence to lead, to guide, to direct, to whisper, to reveal, you know, to prompt, to just lead us in the way that we should go, to instruct us in righteousness. We just thank you for the series we've had in the past few months and weeks, you know, being led by the Spirit and the importance of his ministry in our lives. We just thank you, Lord, for insight. Thank you for revelation. And Lord, we ask that even as we continue to study and meditate on the scripture, that we will become not just hearers of these words, but doers. We'll be able to walk in the life application of these truths and these realities and be able to take delivery of the promises, the inheritance, and the blessings of God that make it rich and added no sorrow, that is promised to everyone that believed. You did say in your word, to as many as believed, you gave them power to become. So that's what we're becoming. There is a walk we have with you. And we ask, Lord, that you will help us to get to our destination, that we may fulfill our destinies, we may fulfill the purpose for which we're here on this side of eternity. We ask, Lord, that you be attentive to our prayers, attentive to our session, and cause everyone that hears and interacts with the session today to be able to receive the grace that comes from you, the grace to, you know, do what needs to be done, to step out in faith, to believe what needs to be believed, so that they can walk that walk with you. They can be led by your Spirit. And Lord, they have the testimony of having walked with you, and they have achieved the things that you had promised them, that they can become those that can witness to others of the goodness of God right here in the land of the living. Lord, let this be so for all our listeners. We lift up their families, we lift up their loved ones, everyone connected and rooted to them that may be hearing, you know, hearing our transmission today. God bless them. The Lord heal them, Lord restore them. Those that are not here with us today, we always like to remember them. We ask, Lord, that you will visit them where they are, whatever they're going through. Grant them, Lord, speedy recovery, grant them restoration, grant them healing, whatever their heart's desire is in that particular situation. I pray that they will have the faith to, the Bible says, speak to your mountain. Every mountain, everything that it looks like a hill, a challenge before them, that they'll be able to, you know, really, what's the word now, rise up in their faith to speak to their mountain, to command those mountains to move, and that you grant them even their heart's desire, the healing they require, the change they anticipate. Ask this of you in Jesus' name. Lovely people, good morning, and you're welcome to Morning Dew. It's my pleasure to be with you again as always. Holy, holy is the Lord by CC Winers. Lovely track there. Very, very lovely track. Okay, so we've been talking about being led by the Spirit. We've been talking about, you know, a lot of things that we went through in that series, knowing that there's a ministry of the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth and the importance of being led by the Spirit. Today we want to just take a new topic, and we'll see how far we can go with this one, and it's our walk with him. So we're walking with him. And I just want to read a couple of, you know, quotations from different people about walking with God. The first one is from Henry Ford, the producer of the motor vehicle brand called Ford. It says, "Those who walk with God always reach their destinations." Very interesting. So those who walk with God always reach their destination. So simply, if you want to get to your destination, then you need to be able to know how to walk with God. You need to be in sync with, you know, journeying along with the Lord, and you are sure to reach your destination. I really like that one by Henry Ford. Okay, the next one is by L. Moody, very, very famous evangelist, you know, and it says, if I walk with the world, I can't walk with God. Wow. If I walk with the world, I can't walk with God. So there's a choice in our walking with God. As we journey, it's a choice we have to make. Do we walk with the Lord, or do we walk with our God? You can't walk with the world and walk with God. This is by Dwight L. Moody. Why, interesting. The next one is by Jack Hills, and he says, God's mighty power comes when God's people learn to walk with God. Wow. God's mighty power comes when God's people learn to walk with God. It says, to as many as believed, he gave them power to become. So if you're believing and trusting the Lord, if you're looking unto him for your leadership, for guidance, for direction, to navigate you through your destiny, through your walk with him, it says, God's mighty power comes when when God's people learn to walk with God. I pray that we will all be able to learn to walk with God, and that his mighty power will be made available to each and every one of us. Of course, there are scriptures we can look into in the course of our study, but one of the things you'll find the Lord reiterates consistently, he talks about, can two walk together except they agree? So if we're walking with the Lord, we must come into agreement. And I think one of the things the Lord, you know, really makes clear to each and every one of us is he's with us. I am here, you know, and let's walk together. You see several invitations and several, you know, versions of that fact stated in the scriptures. Okay, so I think knowing that the Lord is ever present, we looked at his attributes. One of it is that he's omnipresent. So he's ever present. He's present everywhere. So it doesn't matter what direction you go in. It doesn't matter what stage of your walk you are with him. Because he's ever present, then he's always with you. And so that's a really strong reassurance we have as Christians, that the Lord will always be with us, you know, and I think that should encourage us. But we need to make up our mind to walk with him. We need to make up our mind to not walk with the world. So make a decision to focus on him and him alone. Okay. And there's a lot that can happen. Right. There's another one by Leonard Ravenhill. And he says, smart men walk on the moon. Daring men walk on the ocean floor. Okay. And but wise men walk with God. So again, take that. Smart men have walked on the moon. Daring men have walked on the ocean floor. They do amazing things in different on the ocean floor. They go to space. Okay, smart men, daring men, but wise men walk with God. Again, it's your choice. You know, the more you walk with God, the harder it is to scrape your knees, the harder it is to, you know, be disoriented. Yes, that's a good word. Another one I like, people get to a point of indecision, the valley of, you know, indecision. They're not sure what to do in a valley state, you know. The more you walk with the Lord, the more you commune with him, the more you are on that journey with him, the more you are being led by the Spirit, as we've talked about extensively, the more you walk with God, the harder it is for you to slip, to miss your way, to scrape your knee. And so there's an assurance that those who will walk with the Lord have an edge, there's an advantage, and there's a tremendous benefit for walking with the Lord. And so that's just something, if we don't even go any further on just this topic, our walking with him, recognize there are lots of benefits walking with the Lord. It gives you an advantage, you know, and may the Lord help us to really be committed to walking with the Lord. I have one more interesting one before we take a little break here. It says walking with God doesn't lead to God's favor. Walking with God doesn't lead to God's favor. God's favor leads to walking with God. Interesting. Walking with God doesn't lead to God's favor. So favor is granted to you to be able to walk with God. Okay. So it's exceptional favor that you have that you can walk with God. It's exceptional favor that you have that you can access the presence of the Lord. One thing we all have as believers, having given our life to Christ and believing in God's reconciliation plan for our lives, is that we can come into this journey with the Lord, you know, and that favor leads us to walking with Him. So it's divine favor. It's not something we've earned. It's not something we've merited. It's just the favor of God that brings you to walking with God, you know. And we've said a lot about walking with God as an introduction, and I pray that we can do our best individually and make all the efforts. We'll come into a couple of scriptures to help us amplify this. We'll take a break now, and we'll move on in our study after a break. So see you on the flip side of this break. Enjoy this track. Good morning for joining us. We just had a break and you're tuning to Morning Dew. We're looking at our walk with the Lord, and that was a lovely track there. about my King. Is he your King? Are you the one? Is he the one you're walking with? We're walking with the Lord. May we be able to establish a really deep relationship with him. We're talking about different quotations and different quotes from different people about walking with the Lord, and you can tell from the different quotations that they've all had a different perspective of what it means to walk with the Lord. I'm reminded of a story of this, I don't know if you ever heard this, but a story I really like. Six blind men trying to understand what an elephant is. So first and foremost, they're all limited because they're blind. Okay, so we have this handicap, and they're trying to figure out what this thing before them is. So one guy is holding on to the trunk. Okay, it's like, oh, it's a very flexible, and was quite big, you know. It's like a big hose. Let me think about like a fire engine's hose or something big, massive. I'm like, okay. And then the other guy is on the back of the elephant. Like, what are you talking about? This reminds me when I used to be in construction. It's like the roof of a house. I'm like, oh, okay. So you can imagine. So these two have commented. One says it's a hose. Another one says it's a roof. What are you talking about? Then the guy who's holding the leg, listen, it's like a tree trunk. It's very massive, you know. And when they're all going on, the guy holding the tail is like, what are you people talking about? It's like a flexible rope here because he's hanging on to the tail. So basically, these six blind men are holding on to different parts of this elephant. Remember, they're all limited, so they basically all have a handicap in, you know, by not being able to see. And none of them is wrong. None of them is wrong. Now, the reason why I'm explaining this is that when we walk with the Lord, there are different things we can, you know, pick up, different things that we may be graced with, different graces, different gifts, you know, different blessings. There's so much that comes from walking with the Lord. And so each person will have his own interpretation. So that's why each of them was quoting what it means to walk with the Lord, and they will come from their own perspective. May the Lord give you the perspective he needs you to understand for your calling, for your journey, okay, for your walk with him, that you might be a witness of the one with whom you're working with. All right, so we're moving on here. Now, we always remember to, when we look about our example of walking with the Lord, or, you know, being led by the Spirit, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are sons of God. Jesus is our primary example, and he was never empty because he always walked with the Lord, with God, and doing his will. And he mentioned that several times. So we can learn a lot from his walk with the Lord. He was consistent in that relationship. It meant a lot to him in decision making. He would not make a decision except he consulted the Father to know what the will of the Father was. And so should we. Now, one of the places where he demonstrated a uniqueness of his walk and his advantage he had with the Father was when he went to meet the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Very interesting story from 32 to 34. And he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone else have brought him food? My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of my Father who sent me and to finish his work. Okay, so this was a case where they had traveled, they had, you know, been on a journey, and they got to the, you know, the city, Sychar, is a place called Sychar, and they were at this well, Jacob's well. And it's interesting, so they left Jesus. Remember, they've been on the journey. Now they went to try and see if they could get some food, some refreshment. All right, and in that time, you know, he was ministered to. Okay, and he was able to, from that refreshment, able to minister to this woman. So when they came back, he was now hinting them, you know, that he has food to eat that they knew nothing about. So obviously he was talking about some kind of food that is not physical, because he was hungry like they all were. He didn't get of what they had brought until they came back, but he was telling them that he had eaten every different kind of food. So there's what we can gain from the presence of God and walking with God, that we too can come to an understanding. Bible says a man shall not live by bread alone. So if he wasn't eating bread, which is our typical food, then what was he eating? So he was eating some of that kind of food. And so he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. May the Lord reveal to us the spiritual food that we need in our walk with him. Okay, and so that we too will come to a place where we can be nourished, we can be refreshed, and we can, you know, take advantage of the spiritual food that we eat as we walk with the Lord. All right. So when we walk with the Lord, all right, we draw closer to the Lord with all our hearts. We're supposed to, come close with all our hearts and all our intensity, intentionality, being determined, being focused. He becomes our focus. That's what I just said a few minutes ago. When we walk with the Lord, we draw closer to the Lord with all our heart. He becomes our focus. Our heart longs for Him. Our heart seeks His presence. Our desire to have fellowship with Christ and be like Him will grow, okay, while our worldly desire diminishes or decreases. This is very much, pretty much what one of the quotations we looked at earlier. He said, if you walk with the world, you can't walk with God. So as we walk with the Lord, we find that our desires, our appetites, our tendency, our inclination to have an appetite for things of the world diminishes. And I pray that we can grow in our hunger and thirst. The Bible says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And I pray that the Lord will help us to grow in our hunger and thirst for righteousness as we walk with the Lord. Okay, right. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. It says, let us continue to come near with sincere hearts, in a full assurance that faith provides. So we're encouraged to come near. You know, we have access. The Bible says we're able to come before Him, come into His presence in the new and the living way by the shed blood of Jesus. So that shed blood of Jesus gives us a privilege. The shed blood of Jesus qualifies us to come into His presence. And so what the average believer has is access into His presence. And it says, let us continue. So Hebrews chapter 10, 22 is telling us, let us continue to come near with sincere hearts, in full assurance that faith provides. So there's an assurance, and it's full, that faith provides, that if we will come near, if we will draw close to Him, if we will have our hearts open and anticipate and be expectant, because our hearts have been sprinkled clean from a guilty conscience, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. That's the more reason why we must come closer to Him, come into this walk with Him, you know. And may the Lord help us to come with sincere hearts, a full assurance that faith provides. So there's an assurance that faith provides for us to walk confidently with the Lord. Okay, now we'll look at one more scripture. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, okay, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we look unto Him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, we just looked in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. It says, let us continue to come near with sincere hearts, in full assurance that faith provides. So there is a full assurance that faith provides. And here we're saying, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. So He who, you know, gives us the assurance we have through faith is also the author and the finisher of our faith. Okay, and who for the joy that was set before Him. So He had a focus, He had an end goal. Okay, He endured the cross. Now that's so important. Okay, despising the shame, and He sat down on the right hand of the Lord the Father. We in our walk also have to have a goal. We need to focus on our destination. And thank you, Holy Spirit. It's so important to understand at this place, in this point, that the purpose for our walk with God, the purpose for which we are called, the purpose for which God gives us gifts, the purpose for which He graces us, He enables us, you know, talents, whatever it is, different resources, you know, is so important that we have an understanding what that purpose is. And anything that's given to us for which we don't understand the purpose, then it's open to misuse and abuse, and that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So it's essential that as we walk with the Lord, okay, and we're given different resources, we're given different Giftings, different abilities, we're graced with different capacities to do certain things. Some might be in the potential stage and others might need to be activated, some triggered, you know, some will have to be given a deeper expression, okay, by use. All right, so we have to recognize that even when we're graced, we're empowered or gifted, these giftings, these abilities, these, you know, resources that the Lord gives us as we walk with Him have to be explored, they have to be discovered, they have to be understood, we have to come to an understanding of how to use whatever He's given to us. And this is so important, that as we walk with Him, we recognize what is ours, what has been promised, what He has said by covenant, how to utilize them, how to activate it, how to become competent in using that which the Lord has given to us. So straight away you can see, which has always said, as walking with the Lord is coming to the school of the Spirit, is coming to, you know, models in the school of the Spirit, where you'll be taught how to use what is given to you, to understand what it is that you have, to understand how to become competent in that which you have been graced with and enabled with, you know, so that you can fulfill your purpose. Again, if you don't understand the purpose for which what was given to you, then you're going to misuse it or abuse it, and we don't want to have that. So it's important that we discover first, then come to engage, you know, intermingle with all righteousness, all wisdom that comes from above, and take instruction on how to utilize what has been promised to us, what has been given to us, what has been released into our lives, so that we become competent in our understanding of how to utilize what has been given to us, so we don't misuse it or abuse it. And the Lord will help each one of us in Jesus' name. Okay, so looking at my time here. All right, let's take one more scripture. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. And he answered, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself. So that refers to, you know, the discussion with the disciples and the commandments. And we know that that's a summary of, you know, the commandments, you know, the 10 commandments broken down. And the important thing here is he answered them and said that thou shalt love the Lord your God. So it's important in your walk with him that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all every fiber of your being, okay, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So walking with the Lord literally is fulfilling his commandments, summarized in that scripture in Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. And so that's something we have to be, you know, consistent all through, that we're loving the Lord, that, you know, God himself is love. And so everything we do is an expression of his love in the different attributes, different forms in which it finds expression in and through us, to our world, to our neighbors. And I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. We'll take another break right now. And we'll come back and carry on, see how much we can get through before the end of today's session. I hope you're enjoying our series on walking with the Lord. See you after the break.
If my heart could tell a story, if my life would sing a song, if I have a testimony, if I have anything at all, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me out this way. And when I'm old and gray and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy was found. Oh, my joy, my joy. Let my children tell their children. Let this be their memory. That all my treasure was in heaven. And you were everything to me. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me all this way. And when I'm old and gray and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy was found. I found my joy.
Lovely track there. You're welcome if you're just joining us. We had another break there. We're looking at walking with the Lord, and it's interesting things she said in that story there. If my life could tell a story, I wonder what story your life could tell. If I had anything or a testimony, do you have a testimony? If I think of anything that I have that's of worth, and she turns it all back, you know, when there was nobody else that cared for her, you know, and she just acknowledge the fact that she found her joy. May you find your joy as you walk with the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Rejoice, I say rejoice again. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, some of the scriptures talk about where your heart is, that's where your treasure would be. I pray that your heart will be in that very intimate, close relationship, walking with the Lord. I may deliver to you the promises of God, the faithfulness of God, the many deep dimensions of the love of God, the goodness of God, the strength of God. There's so much that we gain and benefit from walking with the Lord. So I pray that these will be your rewards as you take time to journey, as you discover, you know, in this interesting, you know, task we all have to walk with the Lord. May the Lord grant you favor. May the Lord take you even to that expected end. The Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordered by God, and I pray that the Lord himself will, you know, order each step of the each of your steps, every step of the way on your way to your eventual destination. Okay, so we're looking at a couple of scriptures that just help us understand some important things about walking with the Lord. Now, when walking with God, we desire to please Him. That's so important. You know, we desire to please Him. You know, it is Him, in Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our being, and our desire is to please Him. And we allow the Lord to work in our lives to make us into the image of His Son. So when we walk with the Lord, there's what He's doing. When I've talked about several times, when we come into His presence, there's what He does, you know, in and through us as we come into His presence. So we're walking with Him, we show up, you know, before the one before whom we have to give account, you know, and knowing fully well that we've been given certain responsibilities, you know, in life. You know, there is an expectation He has that we walk with Him and we come with an open heart. We talked about earlier on, okay, with a full assurance of faith. And Romans chapter 8 verse 29, which is one of my favorite scriptures, says, because those whom He foreknew, He also predestined. So God has known each one of us, said before we're conceived in our mother's womb, He knew who we were. And so for those whom He foreknew, He knew us even before we arrived on this side of eternity. He says, for whom He did foreknow, He also predestined. So for each one of us, He who is known about our coming into this relationship with Him, about having this walk with Him, He has a predestined end goal for us, okay, and that is to be conformed to the image of His Son, that His Son should be the firstborn, okay, among many brothers and sisters. The way I look at it, God is doing something in our lives. God is producing a new pattern. You know, it says any man is in Christ is a new creature. So we're coming off His production, you know, line. And we imagine being there on the conveyor belt, and Christ is the first prototype. Okay, so because of whom we knew, because those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. So whatever the Son looks like, that is what we're supposed to be conformed to, the image of His Son. Whatever the Son, you know, does in His walk with God, that should be our yardstick, our guide. Okay, whatever He's able to achieve by virtue of what He's blessed with, gifted with, okay, the resources are made available to Him, okay, the things that favor has opened Him to, you know, given access to, so it must be for us. So the Lord has an expectation, and so Christ continues to remain our example. He continues to be the yardstick, you know, that we look onto, you know. And so it's so important as we walk with Him that we constantly remember that we are being conformed. Like I said, when we're walking with God, we desire to please God, and we allow the Lord to work, W-O-R-K, in our lives, and to make us into the image of His Son. So that's the great work He's doing in us, making us to be conformed to the image, to the pattern, to the lifestyle of His Son. And so we have to look at the attributes His Son has, the attributes of God that are displayed in the Son, and the attributes that we can attain in our walk with Him. And so we learn, of course, we're going to have to drop certain things, and we're going to have to pick up certain things. And so that's why we'll go through some kind of change. We'll have some transition, and hopefully there'll be some transformation. All right, but again, for change, transition, and transformation, we must understand that there's a purpose that God has for our lives. And so if we don't understand the purpose, if we don't understand why we're called, if we don't understand why we're graced with what we're given to, why we have the resources, then it's likely that we misuse or abuse even that which we have. And so we have to go through some extensive, you know, teaching to come to a place of understanding. Okay, so we meditate on the scriptures help us, we have the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, you know, to lead us, to guide us, to instruct us in righteousness in the prescribed way, so that we can follow in the, you know, steps of Jesus. All right, so we'll look at another scripture, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So you have to be, you know, confident in one thing. The Lord is not a man that would lie. He's a covenant keeping God. He watches over his word to perform it. So whatever you meditate in the scriptures, whatever the Spirit highlights to you as a promise of God, God is watching over his word to perform it. God intends to take you through the process so that you can take delivery of that outcome, that expectation, that prophetic declaration, that promise of God, that covenant, you know, that is made with generation after generation applies to you as well. And so it's important that we being confident of this very thing, that which he begun a good work, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the end. So he's not going to abandon you. You know, how does the Bible talk about it? He delivered the Israelites, okay, out of bondage. But that was not the end of the story. It was to take them into, okay, a new dimension, into the promised land. So he delivers us from certain things to take us into something else. So there's a change, there has to be a transition, okay? There's a closing of certain doors, certain ways, certain habits behind us, and a turning around so that we can focus in a new direction to become all that he wants us to be, and so that we can take delivery of the promised land, take delivery of his promises, take delivery of that which he has for us. And may the Lord help each and every one of us to do just that in Jesus' name. Okay, one or two final scriptures. Now, when walking with the Lord, you will grow in your awareness of sin in your life. Now, that's so true. The more you meditate on the scriptures, the more you study the scriptures, you become more sensitive. You know, the Bible says the law was a schoolmaster in revealing our true state. Okay, so when we study the scriptures, it helps us to reveal our true state, our old nature, our fallen nature, okay, and it gives us an understanding from God's perspective of who we ought to be, what life we, and how, you know, we were caught short, we fell short of the glory, okay, by virtue of that sinful nature. So the more you read the scriptures, the more you walk with him, you will grow in an awareness, you'll grow in a consciousness, okay, of sin in your life. You become very sensitive, you become appalled by those things. And of course, the whole idea is that you take on board a new response, because everything that is thrown to you, every challenge, every trial, every testing, it demands a response from you. So with your change, transition, and transformation, every test, every trial, you know, every mountain before you is demanding a response from you. And the test is whether you are going to respond in the old way. You know, how do I put it? I keep saying, you know, maybe you're one of those people, you're very much in the world, you know, those circular songs, and you used to be up and partying here, right and there. And then now you're a Christian and you're supposed to be, you know, changing your ways, you know, be more subtle into the kind of music you listen to, the kind of ways you respond, and then they play one of your old tracks, you know, from 1980s, and then we see, you know what, you didn't die to that thing, because dead men don't feel anything. So obviously you're still responding to the old ways, you're still responding to some of the old rhythms. You know, if there's really been a change, some transition and transformation, you are dead to those things. And so there's a need to die daily to certain things, certain ways, certain habits, and certain ways of responding. And so that's what our trials will constantly be testing us. Have you changed? Are you still going to respond in the old way? Are you still going to respond the way you normally used to respond? Have the meditating on the scriptures made any difference in your heart, in your, you know, behavior, in your outlook, you know, particularly the way you think, the way you speak, and the way you behave? You know, it's so important. So we should be having these changes that are evident, okay? It has to be evident in our thinking. It has to be evident in our speaking, and most of all in our behavior. May the Lord help us to change and transist, okay, from one state to a new state, yield to his transformative work in our lives, and may we be beneficiaries of that change. Okay, may we have the testimonies of a transformed life, and may we be able to leave a legacy for those that are behind us of this journey and of this walk with God. May we have something to tell our children. May we have something to show for them, you know. May we also, in our growth and maturity, get into the stature of the fullness, you know, talk about to come to the unity of the stature of the fullness of maturity in Christ Jesus. There is a destination for this walk with God, and I pray that the Lord will help each and every one of us to really be yielded to, you know, his molding, you know, he's fashioning us, he's transforming us by having a yielded heart, a yielded spirit, so that he can walk in us, through us, and we can be a witness to our world. Okay, one more scripture. Okay, I'm not sure we have enough time for that. All right, look, 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and is just and will forgive us, okay, our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. So it's not your turn to take delivery of the blessings of God until you turn. So he's telling us here that if we confess our sins, all right, he is faithful and he is just and he will forgive us. So the more you meditate on the scriptures, the more you become aware and conscious of what it is you're expected to do, what is the prescribed way, how it is you must conduct yourself, all right? You must confess your sins, because this thing comes highlighted. These things become clear through the teaching of the word, okay? Now, he is faithful and he is just, and he will forgive your sins. So I pray that we can all come to that place where we are honest, we're true, you know, we're real about our challenges, we're real about the struggles, we're real with what we go through, you know, and the Lord is faithful to forgive each and every one of us. All right, so yeah, we just got a few more minutes. What I want to just say at this point is, we've looked at a lot of scriptures. There's a lot you have to do on your own, but sometimes you can body with somebody else. There are people who are more mature, who are further down the road. Get a body to pray with, get a body to, you know, compare notes with, get a body who has actually experienced the yielding power of God in their life, and are the owners of testimonies concerning change and transformation, and walk with them. Okay, the Bible says in the multitude of counsel you wage war. So in this battle along the journey walking with the Lord, there are many adversaries, okay, but the Lord has made room for us in the multitude of counsel that we can wage war. All right, so lovely people, it's been a pleasure, you know, as always, coming here on a Sunday morning to really spend some time with you. I pray that you meditate on the scriptures that I've given to you. I pray you do your own due diligence, you know, and really spend some time to think about your journey, your walk with God. And I pray that the Lord will minister to you. The Lord will forgive those of you that need to be forgiven of whatever it is you want to be forgiven of. And the Lord will strengthen you in your walk. The Lord will strengthen you in the power of his might. The Lord will grant unto you that joy that supersedes all human understanding. The peace of God rest upon you, be with you. May the Lord minister to you. May he cause his countenance to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. Till we meet again, same time next week on this same channel, Radio Africana. It's been a pleasure being with you and morning dew session today. God bless you and have a great, you know, good rest of your Sunday. Bye for now.
Everybody now, let's go! Right.